Bonjour, hi, I'm Pascal Auclair. I hope this talk supports you in your practice. J'espère que cet enseignement vous sera aidant. If you'd like to support my teaching, you can use the donate button underneath my picture on Dharma Seed. Vous pouvez me soutenir en cliquant sur le bouton sous ma photo. Your support is greatly appreciated. Merci.
In the same way that I can understand that my room, my bedroom here, is not absolutely mine, right? No, it is. It's my room. It is, and we could also say that it isn't, right? That it's my room, but at a certain level, we can understand each other. It's useful to say my room and to think that, but it has its limits, you know? Because, you know, when you leave, it would be hard to get it in the trunk of the car. It's mine. You know? So it's relatively mine. Cannot really be owned in this way. We can find the same applies to the experience of the body, that what I call mine, okay, in some ways, but in a very limited way, you know, that this is a play of elements. It belongs to nature, it's made by nature, it's kept by nature, it's nature. It's going to be clearly. It's going to become really clearly nature later, if it wasn't clear. We might not be there to notice that, but somebody will. Yeah. And so, through meditation, through paying attention, we can discover this. We can correct that misperception that we might have. This. Where we fell into, no, it's really me, it's really mine, I'm really in. There's a way that this can be explored, investigated, to bring some clarification that might have a very important impact on the way we are in the world and the way we feel inside. One word that is used, you know, it's liberation from wrongful, mistaken view, wrong understanding, delusion, ignorance. And so we can clarify this by coming closer, you know, following the instructions, just paying attention, instead of being in our storytelling to actually connect with the steps, with the sensations, with the tastes, and discover how this is a living matter. You know, it's living matter. It's influenced by weather. It's, you know, it has its own hormonal life, its own digestive life, its own life, aging life, its own. And we can. There can be insight around this. And we have the chance here to do this. It's important to do this before death or for life, you know, to live more freely, you know, without the fear of death, understanding deeply that this is living matter. It's very, very natural. It's nature. It belongs to nature. And we can do the same investigation, the same exploration with mind. Oh, not mine. Okay, body, okay. I will give it to you to some extent, you know, but do not touch mine. This is mine. You don't go there this morning. I let you say what you said yesterday. That was fine, but this morning, don't you. Yet the Buddha seems to be inviting us to pay attention in real time to what we call mind or inner life, or to notice that this is also living matter. Matter, not in, I don't mean it in the physical sense, although maybe arguably some components, there's something of that nature too. But from the point of view of experience, maybe to notice the inner life, that the inner life, you know, is that like the bedroom we occupy here? Is that really exactly us, ours? You know, in the same way that I didn't, you know, choose exactly the decor, the interior design of my bedroom, you know, I might have made other choices. In the same way, it seems like I don't exactly decide the interior design of this coming meditation. You know, it's not exactly under the control of some I. You know, okay, I'll be light, equanimous, luminous, you know, joyful mind. This is what's going to happen. It's not exactly like this. Suddenly there's a landscape or a meteorology that happens. So being totally identified with this is quite frustrating because it keeps misbehaving. You know, it keeps commenting, it keeps having opinions, it keeps feeling stuff that I don't want to feel. And so we can pay attention to this and notice that in the same way that there is life around us, that there is life happening in all kinds of ways, enjoyable ways or not so enjoyable ways in the body, it's the same in the mind. It has its own comings and goings, its own moods, its own patterns, you know, that we don't exactly choose. Well, like meteorology, you know, with this, that going on, it's going to rain, you know, that we want it or not. Same with the mind, you know. Things happen and, you know, et voila, you know. It could be some things that happened before coming here, of course, there is. Or even something that just happened now in the work meditation, you know, some kind of frustrating thing. Somebody walked on my wet floor or put their cup on my clean table. My clean table. Or, you know, something like this. Or I don't, you know, or I would like to be more efficient, like, you know, be a good retreat and, you know, kind of school, you know, be good at this, you know, and suddenly there's all my upbringing is right in the middle of this work meditation, you know, like this self-hatred, this attachment to having, you know, or don't want to identify with this. I don't want to be identified with washing toilets. You know, I don't want this to be my job or my... So all these things are... It's like meteorology, you know, like things happen and you'll sit here and I'll sit here and I'll feel this because I heard that or saw that or, and then there'll be impact. And, I mean, if we want to view things personally... We'll find a lot of opportunity to take things personal, you know. The mind will make it like this. If we don't want to, if it seems like it could be helpful, I mean, it's probably going to become obvious very soon that I didn't choose this. I didn't, you know. And so we're invited here to pay attention to body through breath, attention, closeness, interest, curiosity, staying close to contact with breath, awareness of posture, awareness of activities. I'm saying this and I'm thinking of, Pascal, don't get boring with this because that's the idea is to remind us so that we can actually really, it's very delicate work we're doing. We could say, yeah, I know, posture, activities, breath, yeah. And then gloss over or, you know, but this, what we're doing, is very precise. It's very delicate, kind of, very delicate petites mains, the little very fine work to actually attend to breath, attend to body walking more than one step, you know, attend to body sitting, moving fork or cup, you know, all these things require refinement of attention, which we're getting to slowly. It's just the second full day, but it's good to name it. Otherwise, we could think, well, I'm here, I'm generally present, it's good enough. No, honey. No, it will require a little bit more, but we cannot force it, but we cannot also gloss over it, or, you know, like it's very delicate. We can't force, but we can tend towards, we can be aware of what we're doing here is very delicate, very, very precise, yet cannot force. But still, you know, there's a level of precision. It's refinement of attention. To connect is one challenge, and to stay is a whole other one, and to refine and stabilize the attention. I just named four things, you know. Connect is already a challenge, because I can be in my story. So to connect is already a particular intention. To stay in contact, stabilize that presence, and let it kind of deepen, maybe, or refine, it's good. I think that we have a few more days, because it's going to require that from us. So we can do this with the material world. The experience at the sense doors, vibration, silence, sight, colors, luminosity, become. So what we're doing is we're becoming sensitive, we're raising awareness of what it is to be in a physical body. We're raising awareness as it's happening, moment to moment, from moment to moment. And there's this invitation, it seems, from the Buddha to do the same with what we call mind, or that we could think of as heart, or sometimes we call it heart-mind, kind of to join all this. And what does that refer to? Well, it refers to the inner life. That would be another kind of way to try to point towards this. It refers to moods. Moods. Grumpy mood. Joyful disposition mood. Worry. I mean, there's a whole, it's vast, so vast. But the kind of the mood, the ambiance, the kind of weather that is there in the mind. So the invitation to become aware of this. Or become aware of emotions. I would, maybe they close by. When does one become the other? You know, but sometimes maybe an emotion might be more like wave-like, or kind of sudden. Moods would be more of an undercurrent. Maybe I'm just throwing it, like it's nothing absolute in that. It's just pointing out to some of the things that do happen in the mind, you know. Attitude is one, could be one way to think about it, one word we could use. And in there, well, there's thoughts, images, things said, things heard, things said and heard. And kind of, yeah, it gets more refined with perceptions, how things appear. How things appear, that's part of the mind, no? Like it appeared like a good idea to come on retreat, you know? It appeared like this. And at some point it appears like the worst idea. So the play of perceptions, mirage, the Buddha compares this to mirage. I appear like, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get there. I'm never going to get there. You know, yes, sometimes it takes the form of thought, something said, you are never going to, we're never going to get there, there's no hope. But sometimes it's kind of moody, kind of impression, a sense that Do you see what I mean? It's rich, huh? The flora and fauna of the mind. There's a lot going on. The geology of the mind. Beliefs. Understanding. Views. This is all happening in the mind. And the Buddha is inviting us to become aware of this as it's happening. Mind is happening now. Through intentions, maybe. Sometimes we can see it in others also. Although the mind is not something you can see with your eyes, still, body language. Like now, I get the sense that some of the minds are listening. There's an intention to understand. And so we can become aware of this for ourselves. Instead of being just identified or fused with what is happening, to actually become aware of as it's happening. Oh, grumpy mood. Can see how the eyes is seeing trouble, annoyance everywhere. You know, people, you know. Oh yeah, the mood. So waking up to a mood. And the beauty of mindfulness, which is a mind event, you know, mindfulness, is that it's non-judgmental. It's just curious about what's presently arisen. It's very different than preference, which would want a different mood. I want to feel confident, you know, I want to feel clear, I want to... But mindfulness is not like this, like, oh, slightly confused. How interesting. Slightly off, feeling slightly off. Wow. What an amazing formation. Yeah. And so that's, well, I think I want to say that's a joy of practice, is the joy of curiosity, curious joy. Oh, look at this, self-righteous. I'm so right. And you're all so wrong. That feels great. Let's not be fused or duped, fooled by this, but aware of, very different, aware of, you know, our shame. Never gonna get it, everybody else does, I don't get anything. You know, oh, look at this formation, so unique. There was a time when I was younger where I did a few trips to the United States of America in the national parks. I had a chance for a few years to somehow to, you know, Death Valley, Yosemite, others, Joshua Tree. So different. Complete different worlds with different ambiance. And when I started practicing, and there was these invitation to become aware of the qualities of mind, that it appeared to me like, wow, it's exactly like visiting the U.S. national parks, you know, the park of fear, the national park of joy, gratitude, confusion, you know, wanting. National park of wanting, you know. And I was like, oh yeah, it's true, it's not that personal, it's open, you know. At some point you'll drive through it, at some point you'll hike through it. And so it's the same kind of interest maybe that we can develop. Oh, look at this self-deprecating attitude. Feels exactly like this. It's such a particular ambiance. And the idea here is to wake up to it, to become interested in. It's a very, very different relationship than being taken for a ride. Yeah. And so there's this invitation here. And the Buddha, in his instructions around the mind states, emotion, moods, etc., the instructions are extremely simple. I love that. So simple. remarkable how simple. When the mind is agitated, know the mind is agitated. Seems like nothing. You know, in our kind of like Western maybe attitude, like, no, we have to do something with it. We have to change it. Here it's so delicate, so precise, so such a, yeah, like we could easily miss it and think, well, there's nothing to it. No, no, there's not nothing to it. There's a lot to it. Becoming aware of, when the mind is gathered, become aware, be aware the mind is gathered, knowing the mind is gathered, concentrated instead of scattered. When the mind is scattered, know the mind. When the heart is broken, know the heart is broken. When it's light, know it's light. When it's heavy, when it's full, when it's empty, when it's hard like a rock, just know that. Know that. Oh. And we have that chance today to explore this. The silence is really helpful for that. We don't have much on our schedule. It's really good for that. We can tune in a little bit and see. And sometimes we can't say. It's very particular. Like we can't say. It's not a storm. It's not bright sun. It's there's something we can't actually even name it. This is plenty. When the heart or the mind is like this, no, the mind is like this right now. And see what's going to happen next. Is it going to stay like this? Is it going to amplify, vanish, fluctuate, transform in some ways? And especially what happens when there is this care, maybe another word for mindfulness here, when there is care and consciousness, being conscious of, what happens to whatever is there, resentment or self-righteousness or worry, or what happens to joy, or not much, almost nothing when there's curiosity and care. That's the exploration we're going to do today. And in meditation, we did that before the restaurants did, using local produce. That's what we do in meditation. We don't look for another. I'd love to study elation. I'd love to study bliss. Oh, it's the day we're invited to study moods. Okay, I'll choose. It's not like this. We just look around what's already there, and that's what we cook with here. We use exactly what's there. Oh, obsession. Okay, the mind is obsessed, agitated. Excellent for broth. Excellent for pot-au-feu. That's what we're going to be cooking with today. What is there? And at some point, whoops, it'll melt in, and something else, maybe another flavor, will emerge. Yeah. And so we're reusing what is here. It's been locally grown. What's appeared. I want to add just a few, a couple of more minutes here to talk about particularly difficult emotions and moods. So very afflictive emotions when we feel overwhelmed or, that's a good word. And so it's delicate work to be with something that is unpleasant, very unpleasant, distressing, distress. It's not easy, so it's an art. It's in a way it's really sad that it becomes a really really refined art when we're losing all our resources. You know, when we're overwhelmed, the mind has less resources. But I'll say a few things that might be helpful. So when there's a strong emotion, often it's kind of vortex-like, you know, it'll take us in, especially with the story it's telling, you know, with worry or obsession, you know, the mind is like completely absorbed by the story, so it's a challenge. If we remember, it can be helpful to, if the eyes are closed, maybe to open the eyes and notice something else that is happening, just space here, there's quietness here. Maybe there's, it's very epic in here, you know, it's very, very intense, very charged. But looking around, looking at the something that might bring some level of peace. In French, we would say, if I translate it, appeasing. I don't know if that's the right word also in English, but something that it could be. I don't know, there's a table here, you can't see it from where you are probably, but there's a scene of trees, with it's made of wood, and somehow to me, just as I was looking around, I could see there's something about this that is just slightly, ever so slightly helpful. Maybe some beauty, the warmth of the wood. So you could look around and see, you might like, no, there's nothing here. It's possible, but maybe the glass windows or the space. Or later, maybe going for a walk outside being in contact with wind, with the sky, with the flora. Yeah. It might be that coming in this hall, it seems like very challenging. I can't go back with it. Like sometimes the hall here will feel supportive, or for some of us it will, being with others in silence. And it can easily feel also oppressive. So it's good to actually be aware and notice, like, I can't, if there's a, like, I can't go back in there, I can't go back in there, don't. There's a little chapel down the hallway on the left. There's a somewhat comfy armchairs looking at the garden. You know, you could bundle up and go find your own space outside. And so it's part of this art to bring beauty, or at least neutrality, where it's not so charged. It's not avoidance. It's skill to say, like, hey, my love, it's really hard for you this morning, today. Let's meditate in a comfortable posture with some herbal tea, you know. That's going to be our way to accompany ourselves today. Or lay down in the bed if it's helpful. And practice in these ways. See what's helpful. Or maybe to move is helpful. Maybe to go for a hike is going to be helpful. And yeah, so we, you know, that we would feel overwhelmed during a retreat, as in life, to me makes sense that they would be overwhelmed, you know, that we would be overwhelmed for 20 minutes here and there. Overwhelmed for 8 hours is too much. It's too much. So we need to find what can be helpful here. And that's why, you know, this kind of invitation not to read or write, is only an invitation, because at some point it might be like, actually, it's really hard for me to be here, and putting my attention on somebody else's story would be really good, you know. And yeah, I remember on some of the long retreats I would assist and help, and sometimes I would say to somebody, oh, here, there was a big library at one of the center at IMS in the attic, family retreats and all this. You know, so I would say, hey, what about the story of this elephant? You know, like, maybe you could go back to your room and read the story of the elephant. And the person was like, you know, and then they would come back, thank you so much, Pascal, the elephant. It was good to have, like, something, because our emotions are so young. You know, they're like 3-year-old, 4-year-old, you know, and in retreat, sometimes in the silence, we have there's a word for it, when you get younger and younger, what is it? Regression, maybe is a good word. So we become young, you know, and And that's part of what we do. Huh? There's a kind of a rite of passage here, or some. We might go. It's not the only way. Like, don't like. Oh my God, I have to. But it does happen that we go in the underworld. Right? Like, that some things will emerge in the silence and make space for things to come. So it's some of the things that can happen here. Or you're like, no. I came here like this. It's not your retreat. I was already a mess. Yeah, of course, it would be natural. We would. It's so messy what we go through. And so, see what is helpful for you. When we're with something difficult, being with it is draining. And so, there's ways that we can refresh the mind. It's very skillful. So let's go have a good big meal, you know, so we can be digestive for a little while, you know. Put the energy somewhere else, you know, fall asleep because we had a big meal. That can be very skillful to do this. Not always, but you know, it can be a good thing. Yeah, okay, so let's see what we can do with this. And so the invitation to just be with breath, still very skillful, very appropriate invitation from the Buddha to just connect and stabilize the attention on the body breathing. Or it could be just, could be plenty to just stabilize the attention on the you know, awareness of that there is a body sitting here. Just that. There's so much sanity in this. Just knowing that there is a body sitting here. Abandoning the storytelling of me back then in the future. And to just know there is a body here. There's a sensitive body here. And staying with this living, sensitive body. And we might find that just being with the environment, the light, the temperature, the sounds or the silence, just by being with the environment, being with the body, very naturally, at some point we'll discover the state of the meditator. It's very natural that we would discover how is the one attending to the environment and the body. We'll discover that they're agitated or quiet, discouraged or hopeful, or maybe not that, something else. So just feel what we feel consciously. Not trying to explain, analyze, fix. Just raising awareness of the moods, the different qualities of mind in human nature. What is being experienced in this heart-mind is something human beings experience. Something humans have experienced in the past, are experiencing now somewhere. Something humans will experience. So it's our chance to get back very close to humanity. Breathing is something experienced by human. So are tingling, coolness, warmth, pressure, sadness, joy. Scatteredness, agitation, quietness, friendliness, harshness. Fear is a very human experience. So is curiosity. Some moods or emotions can be felt in the body. Sometimes there is, let's say, irritation or joy, and we can clearly or in some ways maybe feel it in the body. The heart beating stronger, tensions, or sensation of lightness or bubbliness. just being with the breath, we might discover how it's influenced by moods or qualities of mind. We don't have to dig, analyze. Just by being there, we might discover something like this, the presence of a mood or emotion in the body, or not. Some states or qualities of mind are felt or in the mind. The amount of words or the charge to the speech. Or the mood, ambiance in the mind. No need to look too far or deep. Just interested in what's available, what reveals itself naturally. Sometimes there's a sudden emotion, almost like a bolt or a wave at its peak. So there's an arising of an emotion, impatience or calm slowly setting in. Sometimes there's nothing that we can recognize. It's totally okay. We can be with the body, breathing, sensitive. You might notice, as I ring the bell, that transformations will happen in the body, and maybe in the attitude, in the mood. Something will disappear or appear, relaxation, or mindfulness will disappear or maybe appear. maybe now there's waiting for the bell. It's a particular kind of attitude. It can be known, oh yeah, waiting feels like this. Maybe noticing transformations in the attitude or state of mind, maybe not. So studying human nature with presently arisen moods or mind states. We don't want to be thinking about, that's the delicate thing about this, huh? We don't want to be thinking about, we want to feel, we don't want to explain or analyze. That's another way, it could be useful, but here it's good to know what we're doing here in this research center. We're coming close to a mood, you know? We're getting to feel it. Sometimes when we pay attention, we become aware of a mood, it vanishes. Sometimes it endures, yeah? So if it vanishes, it's not a problem. It just revealed its nature, flickering, changing nature. We have a couple of minutes for questions about the practice, this particular practice or another practice. What could be clarified? Nuances, objections.
If I don't know what I feel inside, does it mean I'm not sensitive enough?
So I'll repeat just because I have the microphone and to make sure. So I hear you ask, if I don't know what I'm feeling inside, does it mean I'm not sensitive enough? And no, it just means that this is what's happening at this moment. At this moment, it's what's happening, and it's for mindfulness, it's plenty. We don't need something else. Because often we have the idea, I should feel something else. I should be somebody else. I should walk slower. I should enjoy this, or etc. And with mindfulness, we're just interested in how things are right now, because they are. So it's the idea that, wow, it's interesting because it is. You know, something came to be, is. And so as you tune in, it's like, I have no idea how I feel. To me, that's plenty. We don't need something else. Because maybe at another point, you'll say, I know exactly what I feel. I don't agree with what was just said or something. You know, and you'll say, oh yeah, that's very different. Earlier, I couldn't find anything. And at this moment, now, another moment, I can find something, clearly. You know, or if you notice that pretty much never right now, well, that's how it is. That's how it is right now. And I would think, but that's just a hypothesis, that by tuning in, becoming interested, something might stand out at some point we haven't noticed. You know, it's exactly if I say just like, you know, let's pay attention to this lamp. You know, like, first it's just a lamp. It's a lamp, you know. But if we say, like, let's spend a little time looking at it, some things are going to start showing up, you know. Like just now, as I'm looking at it, I can see there's fingerprints on it. You know, first I would not have known that there was fingerprints on it, you know. But as I pay attention, as I give it generous or curious attention, you know, then something's going to stand out in some ways, I would believe. But let's see. Okay, good. Yes.
So So working with difficult emotions, when they are very intense, I guess you approach them gently, then you retreat. Is there a time then they get less difficult, or they can stay forever that difficult?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the question is about strong emotions. And so what you suggest, what you hear is that it's skillful to approach them gently and to come close and go away. Mm-hmm. And you're wondering if with practice at some point they get less intense or do they always stay like this? And so, yeah, thank you so much for the first part where you know there's an expression we use sometimes of a way to talk about practicing with strong emotion that maybe others want to hear. Maybe you know that. I like this way of talking about it, touch and go. So we touch in, maybe like there's an intensity and it's located here in the chest or in the throat or it's really intense. To touch in like, whoa, very intense. And then touch and go somewhere else. To the sky or somewhere else in the body, maybe it's not that intense in the fingers or in the thighs, you know. So that's very skillful to come touch and go. And I like when you say come in gently, I think some expression like this that you use. And so I hear in this like come in with, if it's available, with tons of love, compassion, care, instead of judgment or, you know, want it to be over, which are very natural. I don't want to feel this. I shouldn't feel this. But here we're trying something else, like maybe putting the hand on the heart, like, oh, not easy, my love. Like talking to oneself in ways that are tender instead of like, why? Get over it, you know. You should, you know, it's like, oh, no, it's really difficult for you. Very, you know. So very tenderly, if it's available. And this can be cultivated, developed. And with time, the way I hear your question is over years of practice, does one feel less strong emotion? Yeah, that's interesting. I think from what I've experienced and what I've seen around me is that generally, I would think, generally, yes, that things are slightly less intense because more access to equanimity, maybe flexibility of mind, a quicker response of the availability of compassion. It's many different things that will definitely be helpful. And yet, we're not immune, you know? So things will happen in life and in terms of mental health, in terms of situation, world situation, personal situations, you know? And yeah, I've seen this. I've seen this in myself and, you know, colleagues and people who've been practicing for a long time. And it can even come with shame, with confusion, like, oh, I've been practicing for so long and now I'm, you know, like, you know, I'm not doing well at all with this situation that I happened in my family or life. And yeah. Yeah, so yes and no. As for the Buddha or enlightened beings, there's one kind of event that the way I understand it from, you know, the time of the Buddha that I find kind of remarkable. I've used this word a few times now, but yeah, it's seems important anyway to me, that moment where at some point the Buddha, two best friends die. They die within 2 weeks. So his two best friends die in a short time. And at some point, I'll tell you the way I understood or read that exchange. Somebody says to the Buddha, you know, how are you? Very sweet to actually ask, you know, hey, how are you? Mm-hmm. And it seems like the Buddha says something like, he says, it seems very honest and vulnerable, and yeah, he says something like, I feel an emptiness that I've never felt before in this assembly, with this group. You know, they're all together and somebody says, hey, how are you? You know, it's like I'm feeling something I've never felt. It's some lack that I've never experienced before. And if I put it in my words, he says that, and he says, and I'm okay. I'm okay. And something like, it's remarkable that these beings did exist. You know? So it's not like, hey, things come and go. You know, it's not like that. It's there's a depth of feeling, but there's not what we call sometimes a second arrow. Why this? There's a deep understanding that things appear and disappear, and people do, and precious, what was precious crumbles, you know. And there's a deep understanding, but not disconnection. So this mixture of understanding, yeah, you know, things break, relationships break, and democracy breaks, and the planet breaks. These things do happen. So no denial, but also no, like a deep understanding, yeah, this is what happens to humans. This is things that can happen and are happening. I'm interested in that. Thanks.
Thank you.
And something, yeah?
When the concentration is present, or is it stable?
You mean on the morning of the second day?
Yeah, it's funny. I want something to happen, sort of. And when the concentration's not as strong, it's harder to notice, like, the gold is in the noticing of the, oh, Spencer doesn't want something to happen right now. But when the concentration isn't there, and that's the whole, you know, you're cradling like this egg, right? But yeah, then you miss it, and then you missed your, then that's gone, and you didn't even know you've missed your opportunity. Just a noticing. Maybe you can speak to that a bit.
Mm, yeah, thanks for reporting on this. So when the mind has scatteredness or agitation, it's harder to notice. That's what I'm hearing. And so what do we do with this when there's not, it seems like even the basic, you know, requirement for mindfulness? In a way, it requires of us a lot of humility, this practice. We start with what is here, where we are, you know, at that moment. And, you know, what comes to mind is when the Buddha says, how did I cross the flood? You're wondering how I crossed the flood of agitation, the floods of hatred, self-hatred, the floods of doubt, the floods of incessant thinking, obsession. How did I cross the flood? That's what you're asking me. How did I cross the flood? Without forcing, without abandoning. If I forced, with an opinion that I should be further along, that I want it now, you know. If I forced judging, if I forced, I would be carried away. I would lose energy and be carried by the flood. If I abandon, I would also be carried away. So without forcing, without abandoning, I crossed the flood of agitation, if we want to think of it like this, you know. So to me, it's patience, humility, and not giving up. So every time even if it's 10 minutes later, like, oh my God, like I've been caught in all these thoughts, you know, what is here now? What can be known here now? Body sitting, breathing, and maybe I'll be carried again, you know, but as soon as I remember, I start right there without adding too much of like, yeah, but I want to be further along. So no time, I, can't lose energy on this, judging what's happening. I just start very simply, what's here now? Oh, body's standing now. You know, last time I checked in, I was sitting. 17 minutes later, and I check in, and I'm actually walking. Okay, let's start here, you know. And there's an alchemy that I just felt here also that is interesting to me is when a bad news, like waking up after 17 minutes, could lead to more distress, judgment, the alchemy of how can it lead to simplicity and joy? You know, like, wow, was lost, oh my God. Wow, I was gone for a long time, you know. How could bad news lead to tenderness, to joy, to... To me, that's really intriguing. So not adding another layer, but opening up to you're encountering exactly human nature, being scattered or agitated. And there's a moment where the head comes out of the water, you know, like, ah, et voilà. You know, and I love when Jack Kornfield tells the story of somebody stopping him in an airport and saying, are you Jack Kornfield? And he's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I want to thank you because I sat with you at a retreat in 79. And we're like, at that point, maybe in 99. He's like, I totally forgot about everything I learned from you. But the other day, something happened, you know, and I was in an ambulance and suddenly I remember, oh, I could be with the breath. You know, there was a little 20-year gap. But it's not that important. What's important is that, whoops, at some point, there's the, hey, there's a possibility here, you know. So that's that. Okay, thank you. So just I want to name what I've tried to do in this little exchange is not to assume gender. So it was done very subtly, not of notice. But I said you ask this, you ask that. I didn't say she asked this or he asked that. Or, so that's something that we can bring awareness to, maybe bring to the group. Although we're not going to comment on others sharing and all this, it's good to actually keep this slightly open. If I know the gender of someone because we know them, we know, or they've said it, or it's been clarified, then yeah. But otherwise, something that could be useful, make some of us feel safer in the space, you know, that we're not going to be misgendered. And Anicca, things are changing. Mm-hmm. You know, the world is constantly moving along. And this is something that is part of the world now, where there's a sensitivity to this. We don't give gender. We let people tell us. And see, you might not agree with this at all. That to me would make sense in some ways. I've seen this around, but yet that's something I'd like to mention here because I know it might be important for some of us here. So thank you for considering this. And there is walking now. I've given different instruction in terms of meandering or walking in a formal way. What's going to be your version? It's important to do what in accord with what the body's ability at this point. We're also all moving on that line, you know, of mobility. And sometimes it's 45 minutes of walking can be a possibility and sometimes it cannot. And it doesn't have to be a problem, but it's important to honor this and see what is fitting for this body this week or today or in this lifetime. And so all these practices can be done standing or sitting outside on a bench or in an armchair. So it could be that your eyes are open and you get some tea and just the sipping tea, drinking a tea, could be a very, very delicate, refined, precise practice of presence. The moving the attention through the senses can also be done walking formally or meandering. You know, as I do one crossing, I bring attention to hearing. As I do another crossing, to just seeing awareness that there is this sensitivity now. It's an ephemeral thing, you know, seeing is and at some point is not anymore. And maybe awareness of the body moving in space in another crossing and just feeling the feet in a fourth crossing. I can imagine doing this sitting on a bench, just hearing sounds, being aware of seeing that kind of very particular sensitivity for human beings, feeling the body, coldness, touch of clothes, and then feeling just the feet. And in this way, maybe the body is not moving in space, but the attention is moving in this way. Okay? And I think we'll find our way back here, or maybe you'll decide to sit outside under a tree, inspired by the Buddha themselves. Okay. If you have a group, please come promptly and see you there. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.